producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends as well as a few enemies, scoffers, skeptics, atheists, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. It is a beautiful day here in the bunker in the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina. I'm Tim Brown. I'm the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com. For our Muslim listeners, the infidel that Allah warned you about, I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. I'm filling in for Bradley today. And, glad to have you with us, and we just want to take time to give a shout-out to WCQM 98Q, Country Freedom Talk, and 980 AM WPFP in Park Falls, Wisconsin. We're thankful for your support and for your trust and having the Sons of Liberty on your station, so thank you very much for that. Also, we just want to thank you for spending time with us in this hour. We're going to have a special guest on after the first segment, Gary DeMar. He's been on before, but kind of taking off from what Bradley had set up yesterday in dealing with what I believe is such an error in the church that it really cripples the Christian church and our culture on many levels, on the level of law, on the level of the gospel, and on the level of evangelism and real understanding of the scriptures. We're going to talk a little bit about that when Gary joins us in the second segment. But heading over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, just to let you know a few things that are taking place in the country. I just finished an article this morning titled BLM. You're familiar with them, the Bureau of Land Management. Those of you who are familiar with what took place last year at the Bundy Ranch out in Nevada, there is something that is way down the line from Bundy Ranch, and it's taking place in Oregon. The Hammond family there have already seen their patriarch and one of his sons imprisoned over doing something their ranchers do, and that is burning off some of the land at a certain time of year. It's good for the property, because it rids the land of particular plants that draw water and, in essence, take away from the nutrients that other plants need and grass and things like that they feed the cattle. Well, they spent time in jail. If you recall, you could go back and find a podcast where we had Pete Santilli on to elaborate on that a little bit. And now they, after the two men had served, one served 3 months, the other served just short of a year in jail, then a federal judge said, no, you're supposed to give them this because they're terrorists. And what they had done was they had set a fire. It had burned a little further than what they wanted, but it didn't damage any real property other than grass and land that was there. That was it. No real property damage. But when you go to sonsoflibertymedia.com, you'll see the BLM burns ranches and destroys cattle, but it's the ranchers who get charged with terrorism. And there's actual video of the fires being set, some of them being set within 100 feet of cattle, of real property. There was a house that's burned. There were dozens of cattle that were killed. One of the cows that you'll see in the video, he's actually in the picture for the article, is burned while the guy's setting another fire right there where they're taking video. And yet it is the ranchers who are said to be the terrorists, and they're wanting to take these two men back to jail for four more years in prison. It is an injustice is what it is. And yet this is your government doing that. We need to stand up. I've given you means you can contact people, let your voice be heard, be respectful, but be firm. They are engaged in tyranny, no doubt about it. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. A new FBI study has determined that the liberal narrative on Islam and racism is a lie. Who would have figured? The real people that the study shows who are being attacked, whose lives are in danger, are actually people who refer to themselves as Jews. The attacks on those people are tremendous, whereas the attacks even on Christians and Muslims are quite low. Also, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Sharia in Boston. There's a judge who ordered a pastor to learn and study Islam. If you don't think that people are trying to push this stuff in our land, you're sadly mistaken. And I don't think the lady who's referenced in the article is a biblical pastor, as pastors or elders as they are in First Timothy and Titus are referred to. They're men. They have wives. They have children. But still, the fact that a judge would tell anybody, you've got to learn and study Islam, I'm kind of wondering if you ought to actually do it and then come back and say, here's what I learned, and just lay it all out for the judge. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. This leads us to a new article by Tom Darberg just posted, why we need to keep peaceful Muslims out. And the peaceful is in quotes. The Islamic threat as the overdue and popular funeral of Western liberalism. And Tom has been breaking down some of the stuff the past couple of weeks, and this one is really good because it speaks to how even allowing those who are not engaging in the terrorism that we normally see, these are the people who are engaged in jihad or holy war to conquer the culture through the system that it's in. And that's even more dangerous because they push the idea of democracy, of altering law so that it conforms to Sharia rather than the biblical law that our nation is founded upon. I call my own state South Carolina my country. I'm still from the old school back in the 1800s. South Carolina is my country, and the laws of South Carolina are built upon the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the scriptures. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Also, DHS refused to check the social media of visa applicants, and they could have prevented the San Bernardino massacre had they done it and acted upon it, we should add. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Can America survive its traitors? Well, probably not. Not if people won't stand up. And also, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Bo Bergdahl is facing his court-martial, even as the five Taliban leaders resume threatening activities there in Qatar. You knew it was coming. The whole trade was illegal. It was determined to be illegal, and yet nobody's been held accountable. On the other side of the break, we're going to pick up Last Day's Madness with Gary DeMar. Stay with us.
As you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but gloom and doom from the mainstream media? It's time to turn the dial and start learning the truth of who you are so you know where you're going. That's why we at the Sons of Liberty are proud to introduce our new media outlet, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Every day, we're posting articles written by contributors from coast to coast who are actually in the fight in this culture war, bringing you the news and history the mainstream media does not want you to hear. sonsoflibertymedia.com. Get the news with resolve.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't pick on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zero. Out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Just want to let you know, got a little excited there in the first part of the show, so you can find us online at sonsoflibertyradio.com and sonsoflibertymedia.com. Also, pick us up on Facebook at Sons of Liberty Radio and Sons of Liberty Media. And if you want to check out Bradley there on Facebook, it's Bradley Dean with two E's in Bradley, and B-R-A-D-L-E-E. And also, you can find him on Twitter at BradleyDean1. Joining us live now is Gary DeMar. He's the founder and former president there of American Vision, and he is the author of numerous books, many on biblical eschatology and the understanding of the text of Scripture as to what it really says, including a great book that I have just went through again, called Last Days Madness. Gary, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
All right, good to have you, brother. Bradley went over a couple of articles that you've recently written. One was back from November called Contrary to Popular Opinion, We're Not Living in the Last Days. And then one you've written just last week, Why Middle East Violence is Not Evidence the Rapture or the End of the World is Near. Now, I know we have people in our audience who very much believe, you know, rapture can take place at any moment, you know, all these kinds of things, and they believe that the newspaper, what we call newspaper theology or eschatology, what we see happening is somehow relative to make the Bible say something that we want to see, that we're living in the last days. What do you say to that?
Well, we've been, anybody who's a student of history on this particular topic will know that nearly every generation saw things in their own day that they attributed to be the last days. We saw it in the 1970s, how Lindsay came out with a book called The Late Great Planet Earth. He said because Israel became a nation again in 1948, and Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24:34, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. And he said a generation was 40 years. You could do the math. So Israel became a nation again in 1948. You add 40 to 1948, you got 1988. And so he, Chuck Smith, is another one who said essentially the same thing, that everything was would really come to a prophetic climax before the 1980s were over. And here we are in 2015, and people are still speculating with the same verses that were used in 1970, that were used during the Second World War, that were used during the First World War, that were used in, during the Civil War, that were used during the French Revolution. You can go all the way back through history, and you will see the same passages being used to predict the same type of end time based upon events that were taking place in their day. And it's no different today.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we could even go from the, you know, even the strain of the Reformation, some of the things that were said about the papacy as far as Antichrist and sort of those kind of pictures that people pick up and put into that as well.
Yeah, well, actually, if you look at some of the confessions, the Westminster Confession of Faith, which was written in the 17th century, it actually wrote into its confession that the Pope was the Antichrist.
Right.
And in fact, that's still very popular today with a lot of people to say, "Boy, that's what those guys thought back then." All the reformers believed that. And at the same time, back then, you can also read in Martin Luther and other reformers where Islam was on the scene, and it was considered an end time foe as well.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, and part of the question that we have is you made a reference to Hal Lindsey and some other teachers who have taught this stuff. But what we want to get to is pointing people back to the scriptures. Where are they in error? Are they in error because they actually looked at the text, they interpreted the text in its context and who it was spoken to? Or are they in error because they took and they see certain things? You made mention of the geopolitical state of Israel, which doesn't acknowledge the Christ at all. So how they continue to be understood as quote unquote God's people, if you will, it kind of baffles me. But have they taken that and applied it to Scripture rather than interpreting it properly?
Well, let's look at the Israel issue. That's supposed to be the time key for all of this. And it's based upon a passage in Matthew chapter 24 about the budding of the fig tree. And very early prophecy writers, especially C.I. Schofield, anybody who has a Schofield reference Bible can see this, and others in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, and even into the 50s and 1960s, said the budding of the fig tree was Israel becoming a nation again. And so when Israel became a nation again, that was supposed to be prophetically significant. Outside of that particular passage, there isn't a single thing in the New Testament that says anything about Israel becoming a nation again or anything about a future Israel being prophetically significant in terms of the end times. So there is no verse in the New Testament that says, hey, when Israel becomes a nation again, that's when this last generation is going to come into existence. That's number one. Number two, that fig tree illustration doesn't say anything about Israel. In fact, so Matthew chapter 24, verse 34 says when you see the fig tree, and Luke chapter 21, which is a parallel account, says when you see the fig tree and all the trees. And so all that's saying is, look, when you see leaves on a tree, you know that spring is near. In the same way that when you see leaves on the tree, that spring is near, when you see these signs, you know that I am near right at the door. So the first thing is the New Testament doesn't say anything about Israel becoming a nation again, this being prophetically significant. Number two, the New Testament does not say that the fig tree illustration in Matthew 24 or in Luke 21, the fig tree and all the trees has anything to have anything to do with about Israel becoming a nation again. And the third thing is, if you say the fig tree represents Israel, then you got a real interpretive problem on your hands. Because in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus sees a fig tree with no fruit on it, and he says what? There'll never be any fruit on this tree again. So you can't have it both ways. So you have to wipe that out and say that has nothing to do with Israel becoming a nation again. And so
well, and Let me pose a question, because I can hear somebody saying, well, wait a minute. Yeah, you see these things, and Jesus says, when you see this, you know I'm at the door. See, and they'll say, that's his coming, or, and some people will say it's the second coming. Some people will say it's a rapture. And when we talk about rapture, for those listening, you know, the passage out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it talks about that they'll be snatched away. And we believe that that is talking about at the last day, at the coming of Christ.
If it refers to that. I mean, there are a lot of people who say that doesn't have anything to do with that either.
Okay.
But let's look at another factor that a lot of people pay no attention to, and that is verses related to time. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus comes out of the temple in chapter 23. He says, your house is going to be left to you desolate. Jesus was in the temple when he said that. He comes out of the temple. And then Matthew chapter 24 begins, and his disciples come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, how can you say that about the temple? How can you say that our house is going to be left to us desolate? And Jesus says, not one stone here will be left upon another. They will all be thrown down. And then they want to know, when is this going to happen? And what will be the sign of your coming, and not the end of the world, but the end of the age? That is, the end of the old covenant age. Because if the temple was destroyed, I mean, Israel itself would have been displaced, theologically. And so Jesus goes through, and he says, you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, which, of course, during that period of time after that, that's exactly what happens. So there'd be famines. And if you look at the book of Acts chapter 11, there was a famine all over the Roman Empire. It says the gospel would be preached to the whole world. And if you look at Romans chapter 1, 1 Colossians 1, 6, 1 Colossians 1, 23, 1 Colossians 1:23 says that the gospel was preached throughout the entire, to every creature under heaven. And then, but you get down to verse 34, it says, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Jesus wasn't talking about some distant future generation. He was talking about their generation. Because every time this generation is used in the Gospels, it always refers to the generation to whom Jesus was speaking. It never refers to a future generation. It does not mean this race will not pass away. It means this generation, these people born at this particular period of time. So all those signs that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 24 had to do with the destruction of Jerusalem, which was to take place before that generation passed away.
Sure. Sure. Well, on the other side of the break, we'll pick this up. If you want to call in, you got a question for Gary, 1-866-582-9933. Stick to the topic, 1-866-582-9933. We'll see you on the other side.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pileski of the Pileski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Got a lot on your to-do list? Now, during Kubota's Power to Do Great Things sales event, get a great deal on an L3301 or 3901 tractor with a live continuous running rear PTO. Now get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 5 years, and great customer instant rebates when you buy a new L3301 or 3901 and two implements. Now through December 31st, 2015. Call toll-free 1-888-465-8268 for details about cost and terms.
For more information or to plan a participating dealer, visit Kubota.com.
If you play any card at Exxon or Mobil, you can start earning points at lots of places.
So I get points for filling up at Exxon?
You sure do.
What about getting coffee at Mobil?
Points.
Streaming TV shows on Hulu?
Definitely.
Points on my AT&T wireless bill?
Yep.
Buying soap?
At Rite Aid.
Buying you a birthday present?
Points at Macy's.
Visiting your parents?
No. You get marriage points.
Oh.
Exxon and Mobil are the only fuel brands that are part of Plenty, the rewards program that lets you earn points at one place and use them at another. Join Plenty for free through a participating Exxon or Mobil station today. Terms and limitations apply. See Plenty.com/partners for details.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
As your body ages, there's a 10% decline in your ability to repair each passing decade after the age 28. By age 40, your ability to repair from demanding manual labor, exercise, or a stressful desk job has declined by 12%. By using One World Way, you supercharge your body's ability to repair and eliminate inflammation. Our unique frequency-encoded whey protein, coupled with our high-quality whey, improves your cell's ability to make protein, which is to say, repair itself.
My name is Jonathan Wright, and I'm 40 years old. I recently went from a desk job to a manual labor job. Normally, I'm worn out. With energy-enhanced One World Way, I now recover so quickly that I can perform very hard work all day long. I use energy-enhanced One World Way for breakfast and lunch, and I experience less hunger throughout the day. I have a 30% increase in energy, and I just feel better. I plan to make energy-enhanced One World Way a permanent part of my lifestyle.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. On the line with me is Gary DeMar, author of Last Days Madness, and we're talking about Last Days Madness here in the United States of America. And Gary, I just wanted to make one point with reference to your article you did, Why Middle East Violence is Not Evidence, the Rapture of the End of the World is Near. People can find that at godfatherpolitics.com. Many people would say, because you've been making reference to the fact that Jesus was speaking about the destruction that was going to come upon Jerusalem and that generation, the generation that was before him, which did occur within 40 years, they'll say, well, Israel is to be, you know, redone because all the promises haven't been fulfilled, especially the land promises. And one of the things you point out, and I'll quote it, is that the land that was promised to the nation, those promises were fulfilled. Joshua 21:43-45. Many people may not be familiar with this. The Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not one of all of their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel fail. All came to pass. Now, we would ask our friends who are on the other side, did you take that literally? What do you have to say about that?
Well, that is a great passage, and I remember doing an interview kind of like this, and a woman called in, and I said, look, let me read this to you, and I read her that passage, and I said, how do you get around this? And she, well, of course, she didn't have an answer. And I've seen Walter Kaiser, who's a great Old Testament scholar, he reads that passage, and he says, yeah, I know it says that, but... And he says, yeah. It really doesn't say that. All you have to do is go to, so I hear people say, well, the borders of the land that God promised to Israel, it wasn't fulfilled in that. Well, according to that passage, it was, but if you want confirmation of that, you want two witnesses to that, go to 1 Kings chapter 4, and it's sure. A description of the extent of the borders. and it's from the Euphrates to the border of Egypt. Israel was promised all of the land. And by the way, Israel was brought back to the land after the Babylonian captivity.
Yep.
All you have to do is read the books of Ezra and Nehemiah to see that that's indeed the case. Jesus never would have been born in the nation of Israel if Israel had not come back to the land. You know, people say, well, they all didn't come back. It's always been about a remnant. If you read Romans chapter 11, it's a remnant that's saved. It's not every single Israelite. So all of those promises have been fulfilled. The New Testament, you would have to find some place in the New Testament that says that Israel, it's important for Israel to return to the land another time. And the New Testament doesn't say anything about that. There's only one people of God, Jew and Gentile alike, believers in Christ, one new man in Christ, as Ephesians 2 has to say. And if you go back to Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, where it talks about wars and rumors of wars and nations and lawlessness and so forth, look at verse 15. Therefore, now remember, Jesus has that particular audience in mind. There were people who had asked the question, and Jesus is answering them. Verse 15, Matthew chapter 24. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, if Jesus had a future generation in mind, he would have said, when they see it. Look, verse 16, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down. Let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. This was a local judgment specifically prophesied concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, which took place in A.D. 70. And what happens that people forget this context, forget the audience, forget the definition or don't know the definition of this generation, pull these various verses out of context and apply it to their modern-day situation and say, see, these signs are happening today. You've got wars and rumors of wars and famines in various places and so forth and so on. And I have to just say, one of the reasons a lot of Christians fall for this is just out of ignorance of what the Bible says on this particular topic.
Sure, I totally agree. And in many cases, would you say it's a proper assessment to say that many Christians have just been taught this, they haven't really studied it out for themselves, and what they've engaged in is something similar to what Jehovah's Witnesses do and Mormons do and others, is they play sort of a game of Bible ping pong. They don't interpret the text in the context, but they string along pearls of different verses not properly interpreted in order to make that particular eschatology that they have. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah. I mean, that's what they do. You can make the Bible, you know, say anything if you pull verses out of context. Judas went out and hanged himself. Go thou and do likewise. Whatever thou doest, do quickly, because there is no God. All four of those are in the Bible, but in their context, they mean one thing. Stripped of their context and strung together, they mean something completely different. Satan himself did this to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. He quoted passages out of context, and he tried to trick Jesus with using the Bible to get Jesus to defect from his mission, and Jesus, of course, set him straight by putting those verses back in context. Jesus does this on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, he says, you've heard it said. Jesus wasn't creating a new standard of morality. He was correcting an improper use of passages. He would, for example, an eye for an eye and a tooth for an eye for an eye and so forth and so on. Jesus wasn't saying an eye for an eye was improper. But when you go back to Exodus chapter 21, you will see that an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, foot for foot, burn for burn, life for life, was determined as the judges decide.
Sure.
Where people
sure.
were taking that passage out of a judicial context, out of a civil context, and they were using it in a personal or private context. And so it's no different in this area of eschatology. And I've been doing this, well, you know, Tim, I've been all over the country teaching on this. And, you know, people come along and they said, you know, I've never really heard this before. This is the first time I've heard this. This starts making sense to me. I'm going to do some more study on it. And that's all I'm asking people to do. Read these things for yourself. Be a Berean. Search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so.
Yeah, and there's a reason for it. It's not just so we have some kind of head knowledge, but it does affect how we act. It, in some cases, for some people, like John Hagee, it affects what gospel or non-gospel you're preaching in his case. Because in his case, he says, well, the Jews have one covenant, and so we don't need to go evangelize them. And then we have another. And people forget that even in the Old Covenant, Israelites were still composed of Jews and Gentiles. There were Gentiles who came into that nation as well and became a part of that. And so it does have an impact. In fact, you were making mention in the other article, contrary to popular opinion, we're not living in the last days. And you quoted somebody who's very popular in the Christian community, Greg Laurie from Harvest Christian Fellowship. And he said, we're living in the last days. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Pastor Laurie was converted out of the Jesus movement back in the 60s. And he's been saying that about as long as Hal Lindsey's been saying it. And yet, we would have to ask them, where is the real evidence for that? Or, you know, especially when you interpret the passages in the manner that you're showing us in the context, how they should be interpreted. How do you address people like Pastor Laurie and Hal Lindsey?
Well, I mean, I've dealt with Hal Lindsey numerous times, and Chuck Smith, Chuck Smith got up, and he even made more direct predictions based upon Halley's comet that was passing by. I think he applied that to, I think it was Revelation chapter. So, I mean, these guys have been doing this for a long time, and Greg Laurie, I'm sure he's a great, great guy when it comes to evangelism, but he's leading people astray on this last day stuff because people see the evil in the world and they say there's nothing we can do to change it because this was predicted in the Bible, so we just need to sit back and wait because Jesus is coming back soon and Jesus is going to fix all this stuff. In the meantime, the secularists and the humanists and the Islamists and so forth, they continue to embed themselves stronger and stronger in our culture, and they've been doing this for 20 or 30 years, and Christians are trying to play, you know, catch up, but they always have this out by saying, well, the rapture must be right around the corner, because this is what these great Bible teachers have been telling us, and they can't be wrong. Well, they've been wrong for so long, but most people just don't know it.
Yeah, and sadly, in the American culture, we don't face the kind of persecution that the people in the Middle East have faced against these enemies of God. And they have actually sealed the testimony of their faith in Christ with their own blood. And yet American Christians, for the large part, think if somebody says something about them, oh, I'm suffering for Jesus. And yet our brothers and sisters who suffer around the world are not looking for a way out. We saw these guys, the Syrians, I think it was done in Libya, and all of those men beheaded there on the beach and gave their life as a testimony of their faith in Christ. And yet, for a large part, Americans know nothing of what it is to suffer for the faith.
No, they think this, they're going to escape this great tribulation by a rapture. And these people are there. They are suffering around the world. And the only thing that's going to bring light to the world is the gospel. And now here's another thing. If someone is a dispensational premillennialist. Okay.
Gary, hold that thought. We've got the music coming up. We've got a break coming up. Hold that thought on the other side. If you want to call in, 1-866, final segment, 1-866-582-9933. Got questions for Gary DeMar. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work, we cannot say thank you enough. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is David Getch with Patriot Update. America needs a few good men to stand for our founding principles and our Christian values. In Bradley Dean, we have found such a man. Bradley is courageous, persistent, and caring. He cares about America, and he is a disciple of Christ. Through his radio program and articles, he gives conservatives and Christians hope and a good example of how they should stand up for what they believe in.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without a Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty final segment. On the line with us is Gary DeMar. We've been talking Last Days Madness. And Gary, you had a thought you were going to launch into right before the break. You want to pick that up?
Yeah, probably one of the most popular prophetic positions today is taught by a dispensational premillennialist. So it was very popular with the Scofield Reference Bible, John Walvoord. Today you got Mark Hitchcock, Thomas Ice, and many, many other popular prophecy. Anybody who believes in the pre-tribulational rapture cannot believe that any signs today have anything to do with prophecy. And people say, well, how can you say that? Well, because people who hold that position teach that the rapture could take place at any moment. So, which means that Israel doesn't have to be in the nation again. There doesn't have to be any bad thing that's going on in the world. If the rapture is supposed to take place, could take place at any time, that means it could have taken place 100 years ago, and Israel wasn't in the land 100 years ago. It could have taken place 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 400 years ago, 500 years ago. It could have taken place, 10 years after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And so nothing today, if a person believes is a dispensational premillennialist, there isn't a single event going on today that has anything to do with Bible prophecy, because dispensationalists teach we are living in the church age, and the church age is a parenthesis. The prophetic clock has stopped. Nothing going on today has anything to do with Bible prophecy. And I'm sure that, you know, if there are people out there who are listening to this and say, wait a minute, I'm a dispensationalist. I never heard that before. That is the dispensational, you know, position. That's what, in fact, it teaches. And but you can't sell books about prophecy if you don't make predictions. John Hagee sold tons and tons of books about the blood moons. He wouldn't have been able to sell anything about blood moons unless he had tied it to specific prophetic events. Hal Lindsey wouldn't have been able to write The Late Great Planet Earth unless he had made predictions about Russia. Remember, he predicted that Russia was the end-time bad guy.
Sure.
And then later on, when the Soviet Union fell, it was Islam was the end-time bad guy. And you had the year 2000, that was supposed to be the end. Then we had Edgar Wisnett in 1988, who wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture was in 1988. And I debated him that year, and he said on a radio show where I was debating him, he says, if I'm wrong about this, that means the Bible is wrong about this. And so this has been going on and on and on. And, Tim, you know I have a very large library of about 20-some thousand volumes. Probably have one of the largest private collections of books related to Bible prophecy from all different perspectives. And let me tell you what prophecy writers are saying today. Prophecy writers have been saying for nearly 2,000 years, and I believe that this is one of the worst things that has happened to the church, where people have gone to the Bible, made predictions about the end, and it's one of the reasons why the church is so powerless in the world today.
Well, sure, and if you're making things like that, even the unbelieving world around you can see that you're predicting these things, that you're saying these things are going to happen, and when they don't come to pass the way you're saying them, it gives them reason to mock the Word of God.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And you had people, in fact, there's a history of this. There's a history of people who have liberals who have written who said, look, you know, Jesus made these predictions, and if you read the prophecy writers, you have to say that Jesus was wrong. And so if Jesus was wrong, that he was to come in judgment before that first century generation passed away, if he was wrong about that, then he was wrong about other things. Bart Ehrman, who's probably one of the biggest critics of the New Testament, he was a believer in the Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, Last Days perspective. But then as he began to study the New Testament more, he began to see, wait a minute, Jesus was wrong about these things. And all of their efforts to try to, you know, fix what Jesus emphatically said turned him into a skeptic on the reliability of the gospel. Now he's a professor. He teaches how wrong the Bible is on things, and the catalyst was because of people like Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye. And my point is, Jesus was absolutely right in what he said. He said he would return before that generation passed away. He did return in judgment, just like God, you know, came in judgment against Babylon in Isaiah chapter 13, just like Jesus promised to come in judgment against a couple of the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Jesus came in judgment against Jerusalem in A.D. 70. He predicted it. He said it would take place before that generation passed away. He gave signs as to what would take place. He said that they would see the abomination of desolation. Jesus was absolutely correct in what he said. It took place just like what he said. And people today who don't believe that, Christians today who don't believe that, are the true scoffers. You know, Second Peter 3 talks about scoffers and mockers. People today who don't believe what Jesus had to say about that, Christians today who don't believe what Jesus said about that, are the real mockers because they don't believe what Jesus said. And I believe what Jesus said. Said he was going to come back before that generation came, passed away. He did. The Bible has been validated. It's true. We need to get off this kick now. We need to get busy applying the gospel to every area of life and transform ourselves and our families and our churches and every realm of life. Look to the future, leave a future for our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Amen. I think that Bradley would be saying at this point that a black church would be telling you to bring it down, Brother Gary. And that's where I was going to go. We've got just a couple of minutes, and that's where I was going to go with it. Jesus gave the parable there in Luke 19, and he finished, and he said, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And sadly, there are, look, let's be honest. I've met many who hold to the last days thinking, who are my brothers and sisters in the Christ. I really do believe that the ones that I've met are. And they are busy. They're not sitting on their hands. So I don't want to paint everybody with a broad brush, but I do realize the ideology, as we think, as our orthodoxy is, our orthopraxy usually follows. And that's our practice. So what would you say for those who have bought into this and now maybe you're putting some questions in their mind, they're going to go look at these things and this, that, and the other, what would you encourage them with as a final word?
Well, look, you need to be Berean. You don't trust what I'm saying here. You check the scriptures out for yourself. Sure. I mean, the Apostle Paul was there in Acts chapter 17 when this was written. They search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. I've written a number of books on this. If you want to get a kind of a detailed, verse by verse exposition of Matthew chapter 24, I wrote a short book called "Is Jesus Coming Soon?" You can get it at AmericanVision.com. Go to the store. You can get it. It's a very inexpensive book. It's not a very long book at all. And open up your Bible. This is how I got into this, and I started this too. I read a book back in the 1970s by Marcellus Kick. It was just, the book was just called Matthew 24. I got my Bible out. I read what Marcellus Kick had to say about Matthew chapter 24. I compared scripture with scripture, transformed my understanding of the Bible, transformed my life and everything that I do. I've done something similar to that with Is Jesus Coming Soon. Get your Bible out, compare scripture with scripture, make up your own mind about this, but trust the Bible, trust God's word. No matter where it takes you, it'll take you to the right place.
Amen. Amen. Gary DeMar, thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate your insight. And is there someplace somebody can find you now?
Well, they can get me through AmericanVision.org. I'm on Facebook. You can get me there. That's probably the easiest thing to do is just go to American Vision and contact me that way.
Okay, brother. Thanks so much for your time
thank
and
you,
your
Tim.
Insight and encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Gary DeMar. From American Vision. And, folks, I can't tell you enough. Some of you may be saying, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not going on a mountaintop. I'm not putting on a white robe and waiting for Jesus to come. I am busy. I am sharing the gospel. I'm doing it. Then praise God for that you don't allow that to cloud your judgment. But it is something if you hold to it, you need to clear up because we're supposed to be people of the truth. That means in anything that we say, especially when we're talking about God's word, when we tell people that you're living the last days because of this, 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 and this, Gary made an excellent point right there, just an excellent point. If the dispensational view is correct, then there are no signs for an alleged rapture. Why? Because you're in a parenthesis. There's nothing going on that's biblically prophetic. Even from those people's perspective, everything would be after that. And that was a great point. I never heard that point being made. I usually make that with Daniel chapter 9. But folks, we are to occupy till Christ comes, and that means we're to fight. We're to be those who stand up for the gospel, for the truth. Continue to do that. The Lord be with you. He has given you His Spirit to do so. We'll talk to you in 23. See ya.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves, but this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at dollardownfall.com. IRSLoan.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to dollar-